I think she already wants me to get a part-time job. Only working 17 days out of the year.
In this week's Know Them From Adam podcast, we are joined by two quarterbacks in the news, two quarterbacks with connections to the Denver Broncos, and two quarterbacks who have a lot riding on this season. First, the former Bears quarterback and current Fox TV sports analyst Jay Cutler, who recently left the game of football to join Kevin Burkhardt and Charles Davis in the Fox booth as part of the Fox number two team on Sunday. And then also Trevor Siemian, the man now competing for the Denver Broncos starting quarterback job with Paxton Lynch. Siemian was the first quarterback in NFL history to start the season opener for the defending Super Bowl champion without ever having thrown an NFL pass before. Two quarterbacks in the news, two with connections to the Denver Broncos, Jay Cutler, followed by Trevor Siemian. Thank you very much for the time. Thank you for the punctuality. I want to thank you for taking the time out. Congratulations on the new gig. And just want to ask you, usually at this time of the year, you'd be in OTAs getting ready for training camp. What are you doing now to get ready for the new job?
You know, that's funny. I'm actually heading to the airport to do the pre-check TSA, you know, because going to be flying a little bit more, and those charter planes from the team aren't going to be an option anymore. So I'm trying to get through some lines a little bit quicker.
Oh, that's a good thing. So in Nashville, you're going to that airport, right?
Yep.
That's a little smaller. Yeah, you should be doing that. That'll be a good way to acclimate yourself to the weekly travel.
I know. I think, you know, that's really something I have to get used to, because usually, you know, you have eight games away, eight games home, you get a bye week, and now it's almost like 17 away games. So a little bit more travel, but during the week, you know, you don't have the grind that you would have as a player during the week, which is nice.
And you're in charge of your travel now. It's not like a whole team. They got operations people handling everything, too.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't bother me as much, because, I mean, I kind of like to be in control of those things anyway. So being able to pick times and, you know, getting to and from the airport, that's got to be fun for me.
Jay, you spent the 2006 and 7 seasons in Denver playing with John Lynch. You're now replacing John Lynch. Has he had any words of advice for you about the transition you are now embarking upon?
He texted me shortly, either when it was kind of we were in the process or shortly afterwards, just congratulated me. And, you know, we kind of both agreed that the draft was coming up and free agency and all that stuff and OTAs. And I want to touch base with them when everything slows down, probably in July when they break mini camps, and kind of pick his brain of the transition from player into announcing and the kind of career that he had, because I know the guys at Fox, they love having him, and it's going to be a huge miss for them of him moving on.
What's the one thing you would like to learn from him about the job you're about to do?
Announcing?
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, just using your knowledge as a player and really trying to bring that to the viewers. I mean, I think that's why a lot of these television stations are hiring players, because they do have a little bit different perspective. They do see things a little bit differently. You know, John was a super smart player, a super smart person in general. And, you know, the way he saw the game, he was actually able to inform the viewers of what he was seeing and get them a little bit more educated as well.
It's a strange time in the industry. I know we've always seen crossover where players have gone on to become announcers and announcers have gone on to work for teams and whatnot, but it seems like this offseason it was more pronounced than ever, with you and Tony going from the playing field to the booth and John going from the booth into a front office. Is there any explanation for why we've seen so much of it this year in particular in your mind, Jay?
No, I don't know. I mean, you kind of get those situations where guys are just careers are ending. I think it was kind of a perfect storm for me with John going to the booth to GM, which I think is an unbelievable jump for him, that opening was there. There's just not a lot of openings from year to year with CBS and Fox and ESPN of studio stuff or definitely color stuff in a booth. Like those jobs just don't come along each and every year. So I feel like I got fortunate in that situation on there.
When did you know that you were going to be leaving football to become a broadcaster? How did that happen, and when did you finally know?
I didn't really know that I was going to be becoming a broadcaster until, you know, about a couple of days before the deal was struck. It wasn't something that I wanted to do per se, or searched out, or had a big dream of going from football straight into the booth. To be honest, I kind of wanted just to take a fall off and just kind of let something come about, whether, you know, organically, naturally. I didn't really want to jump into anything right away. But the more I talked to the Fox guys, the more I talked to everybody kind of involved with them, and, you know, and saw the real the benefits of the job and of coming straight off the field into the booth, the more appealing it got. And, you know, it was just kind of felt natural and felt like, you know, it was a situation that might not be there next year or the year after that. You know, something that maybe a couple of years if I passed on, I might regret.
Jay, if you had had that fall off and you had nothing to do this September and October, what would you have done with that time?
Oh, gosh. My wife would hate me. I'm pretty sure about that. I think she already wants me to get a part-time job. This whole only working 17 days out of the year isn't going to cut it. But I would have gotten bored. I'm sure I would have missed football even more than I probably will this fall, even with the new job. It would have been tough, I'm sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys out there that retire, and your kind of whole sense of self-worth is wrapped around in football, because for a lot of us, that's all we've really ever done since, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And that's kind of who we are as people, and trying to identify with yourself without that, without football in your life, it's hard.
Are you retired now officially, or are you not? I've heard various things.
I am, but is there actual paperwork?
Yes.
I'm seeing a lot of different.
Yes.
Well, someone sent it to me, because I've called the PA, yep, and they acted like it didn't exist. And they were like, you know, it's just your 401k and all this stuff. So there's actual paperwork. Someone sent it to me, because I need it, because I'm ready to sign it.
Okay, so you're not coming back. So, like, if the Oakland Raiders lose Derek Carr to a finger injury in December, they're about to go to the playoffs, and they've got no other options, and they call you to come play for them, you're not playing.
If it's December, I'm probably not in ready to play football anyway. I think the quarterback position is one of those positions that you can kind of just jump in and play. You know, there's some other skill positions, linemen that, you know, some of the verbiage and all that, you know, the little details of routes and DBs, like, you can do that. To say, hey, we're going to sign you on Monday, we need you to play on Sunday as a quarterback, and that's so challenging. I think Tony's situation with possibly leaving the door open at Dallas, that's what he's doing, is a little bit more realistic, because he knows the system, he knows the guys, he knows the expectations, he's comfortable in the building. To go someplace completely foreign and try to learn a whole new system and develop timing with guys, especially in a team that's in a playoff race. And that's a tall order.
When you were considering playing football back this past winter, there were some people who said that the Jets situation came close to happening, was in the works. Yeah. I don't know how we categorize it. How close did you come to playing for the New York Jets or another team?
I didn't even take a visit. They wanted me to try to come out. I think, you know, as soon as the Bears released me, you know, we were talking to them about flying out really immediately that next Friday. And, you know, I kind of balked at that, because I didn't really want to jump in anything. Whether they would have offered a contract or something would have worked out. I have no idea. I mean, that's something the Jets, you know, they know more about that than I know. You know, all I know is, you know, jumping into a situation wasn't something that really was appealing to me at the time. You know, I kind of wanted to weigh a lot of different options, because, I mean, I didn't know if I wanted to play football. I mean, all I know is that You know, I wanted to kind of digest, you know, the last 8 years in Chicago and, you know, kind of work through that before I signed with somebody else, if I signed with somebody else. So I didn't know. And then, you know, we were scheduling something for Monday or Tuesday. I think the coaches were going on pro day. And then Thursday, Friday, the doctors were going to be going because I just had shoulder surgery, so they would check me out. So kind of all of the stars didn't really align for me to get out there. And by the time I was scheduled to get out there, my buddy Josh had just taken a visit, and they weren't going to deal with him. So, you know, it all worked out. I'm happy for him.
So put on your analyst hat for a moment, if you don't mind. How is Alshon Jeffrey going to do with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia this year?
He'll do well. Mike Rose there, the wide receiver coach. He had Al in Chicago when we were all there, and Mike knows him. Mike knows him really well, can get the most out of him. And I think Al knows that this is a huge year for him. It's a one-year deal, right?
Yep, correct.
You know, it's another one-year deal for him. And, you know, if he stays healthy and he works hard, I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He's just had some bad luck with some injuries that kind of plagued him. And, you know, one injury will lead to another injury, And then it's hard at that position to battle back and get healthy again and be productive. So, you know, the system's great out there. Doug Peterson's great out there. He's a young quarterback. I think they're doing it the right way of surrounding him with talent, you know, getting guys that can make plays around them. And, you know, he knows from Andy Reid, he knows from playing for what it takes to be a good quarterback in this league and the pieces that need to be successful. So I would think if Al's healthy, he's going to have a big year.
You brought up the 8 years in Chicago and processing that, Jay. What do you take away, and what will you remember about the 8 years in Chicago?
Goodness, I mean a lot. I mean, I met my wife there. We had our three kids there.
Yeah.
You know, we got a lot of memories there. I mean, we got a lot of family there. Kristen's mom and stepdad lived there. Got a lot of wins there, and great friends and coaches that's kind of come and gone. So it's always a special place in my heart. We didn't get done what we wanted to get done and what we set out to accomplish, and that's kind of the frustrating part when you leave something. But you know, I mean, I'm going to think about all the positive things that happened in my 8 years there.
How about your memories of Denver? And I'm guessing it's not being in a South Park episode, though. Maybe. What do I know?
Yeah, love Denver. Loved it. I don't think I could have had a better introduction to the NFL than what I have there. You know, John Lynch and Al Wilson and Champ Bailey. Yeah. You know, we had a lot of Jake Plummer. We had a lot of veteran guys. I mean, you put a Mike Shanahan on top of that, kind of pulling all the strings and orchestrating stuff. And it was an unbelievable 3 years. And you know, Jeremy Bates was huge in my career, especially early on, and even as I got older, kind of leaned on some of the things that he taught me as a young player. So, you know, B. Marsh, Tony Scheffler, Miss Cooper, I mean, that was doomable. I mean, the class that we had in 06 was phenomenal. It's just it's a shame that, you know, they got rid of Mike and everything kind of fell apart after that. But those 3 years I had there were great.
Now, what would you tell Mike Glennon and Mitchell Trubisky about what they're in for here coming up in Chicago?
You know, I would tell them just to trust Dow, Dave Ragone, and those guys. They got a really, really strong group of coaches surrounding them. You know, it's not going to be easy. I mean, in NFL, it's hard getting wins from week to week. You know, I don't care what team you're on. You know, and I think everyone kind of looks at their roster and, you know, you feel a little hesitant because you don't think they're going to be very good. But I think there's teams out there every single year that, on paper, you know, you think they didn't improve, they didn't do what they're supposed to do to get better, but you never know. I mean, this team could come out and get hot, and, you know, like anything else, winning is contagious, and they could get on a run. But my initial advice would be just to trust the system, trust Al and those guys surrounding the coaches surrounding, because there's a lot of good guys, a lot of good people in that building, and just lean on them, and, you know, there's going to be some tough times like any other NFL city. You just got to stick to the process.
Jay, my last thing for you is three quick questions that I like to do with each guest, and you could keep the answers short and snappy so we could get you to TSA. But okay. We call last call. Last time you cried?
Goodness. Maybe when we birth one of our kids. Been a while.
That long, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think maybe Sarah. Maybe when we found out it was a girl, I think Kristen was emotional, was really wanting a girl. So I think that was probably it.
Last person you would call if you had some kind of message to deliver, and what would that message be?
Last person I had to call?
Daniel, do you have the question? I'm looking for it in my phone.
Yeah, I believe the question is, if you knew you had 1 hour left to live, who would you call and what would you say?
That's the question there, Jay, right there. That's why we have producers. Okay. You're going to come to learn to lean on your producers just like I did right there.
Oh, gosh. I would try to do a group call with my three kids. I would tell them that, you know, they can do anything they want in life, and just stay positive, and enjoy it because it goes by really, really fast.
Love that answer, Jay. And last question of the last call is, what would be your last meal on Earth?
Last meal on Earth.
And don't tell me it's something that you're picking up at the Nashville airport as you're going through there right now, please.
You know, I would probably do a thin crust pizza.
From?
I think I would probably make it. We've got a little a pizza oven.
Yep.
And Kristen would make the dough for me, and I would load up all the toppings.
Well, if you ever make it to New York, I got a great thin crust pizza place for you. If I can get you a slice, I'm telling you that you would love to, that I put up against yours and Kristen's. I promise you that.
All right.
Hey, Jay, I really appreciate taking some time today. Thank you very much. Lots of luck with the new job. I'm really honored to finally get the chance to speak with you. Again, I felt like there were so many connections over time. Really appreciate taking some time.
Thanks, Adam.
And so there is the former Bears quarterback and current Fox TV analyst, Jay Cutler. And now we transition over to the man competing for the Denver Broncos starting quarterback job, Trevor Siemian. But before we get to Siemian, I also want to say, if you like the podcast, we'd love to have you rate us in iTunes and give us some feedback on how we can be better or any guests that you'd like to hear on this podcast. We'd love to hear your comments, bring them on. But now, Trevor Siemian. Trevor.
How are we doing?
How are you doing? Thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Let me ask you this. What is it like to be in a quarterback competition for those who don't know?
It's for me, it's something I'm kind of used to, going back to the Northwestern, even since my sophomore year college ball. So, people always ask me about the competition and how you deal with it, but I kind of joke around with people and tell them, you know, somewhere in the dictionary next to the word sports is competition somewhere in there. So, it's something I embrace. You know, everybody around here embraces, not just at the quarterback position, but it's really kind of a culture thing here, and it's cool to be a part of.
But it's a strange thing, and it exists not just with you, but with every team and every position in the league. You're in a meeting room. You're going through drills. You supposedly have a good relationship with somebody that you're competing for a starting job with. That's a strange phenomenon, is it not?
It's different, maybe for people outside of the football world or the sports world. But at the same time, Paxton and I we like to think of ourselves as grown-ups, and we understand the best guy for the Denver Broncos is going to end up playing quarterback in the fall. So. We help each other and we push each other and hopefully out of this thing, the best guy is going to play well for the Broncos in a few months here.
You're a seventh round pick 250. And the next year they use a first round pick trading up, I might add, to go draft Paxton Lynch. That can't be something that you don't notice. How do you navigate that mentally when you're a seventh round pick and you're going up against a first round pick?
Well, truthfully, when you step in the building, it's not like everybody walks around with a label on their head or a tattoo on their arm that says what round they're drafted in. And I always tell people, look, I don't have an asterisk next to my name on the roster, nor does Paxton or Shane Ray was the first round pick in my class. I mean, I understand it's a little different for those guys getting drafted early, but at the same time, you got to be able to play ball. And, you know, I think that's the one thing in this organization gives you an opportunity. It doesn't matter if you're a first round pick, a seventh round pick, undrafted. I think, you know, we have a great track record here of guys from all over the place playing well for us.
Last year, as that seventh round pick, you did get selected as a Pro Bowl alternate. What did that mean to you?
That was special. I mean, you know, I think I was way down the list on that. But, you know, for me, it was pretty cool because I'm from Orlando, and that was the first time I think they were playing it in Orlando. So it would have been cool to play in front of my folks and have some buddies out there. But that was special for me, even though I was pretty far down there on that list.
But did you not play in the game due to injury?
Yeah, I had surgery right after the season on my shoulder. So when I found out, I was in a sling. And it crossed my mind. I was like, is there any way I can figure out how to play in this game? But, it wasn't happening.
Now, the shoulder was injured week 5 against Atlanta, not throwing shoulder. That's the shoulder we're talking about?
Yep. It was sooner than that. Week 3 or 4, we were playing Tampa. I think week 4, I missed the Atlanta game.
Missed the Atlanta game. Okay, so you injured the shoulder week 4 against Tampa. How bad was that shoulder injury? What was the deal there?
You know, it was all right. It was kind of a touch and go thing there for a while, where I'd feel all right for a week, and I'd take a pretty good shot on it, and I'd have a little bit of a setback, and that was frustrating for a little bit. But again, it was my left shoulder, so
yep.
I could still play. You know, luckily I'm not throwing the ball left-handed, so it really didn't affect how I played. It was just kind of a pain tolerance thing, and as you know, everybody's got their bumps and bruises coming up throughout the season, so I wasn't much different than anyone else in that sense.
Trevor, in week 12, I believe, you hurt your foot. Sprained foot, they called it, some kind of foot injury, and it seemed to affect you down the stretch some. What was the extent of that foot injury now that last season has passed and it's not taboo to talk about foot injuries a year later?
The week I came back, Tennessee, I wasn't moving real well, and I was kind of nervous about getting out of the pocket. But I think after that, I was all right moving around. But I think just that Tennessee game, you know, I was, you know, a little nervous about getting out of the pocket. I think ended up doing all right, and I think I maybe broke the pocket two times, and got rid of the ball pretty quick when I did. So I think that was the only thing that kind of came up from that.
Now, playing with Peyton Manning, playing under John Elway, what have you learned? What did you learn from Peyton Manning?
I don't think I have enough time on this call to quite tell you everything. But you know, Peyton was great, and I kind of had a unique experience in that room initially because you know, I wanted to make the team and I wanted to stay out of Peyton's way and Brock's way coming in. So I just did a lot of watching, a lot of listening. And truthfully just try to keep my mouth shut and, you know, learn from them, kind of how Peyton, obviously everybody knows how Peyton did everything pre-snap, but, you know, I tell this story all the time. The year I saw Peyton was a year when he wasn't necessarily setting the world on fire statistically, but he had an injury. So for me, it was kind of cool to see him, in this one season where he had to battle a ton of adversity. And for me, just seeing, I knew how good of a player he is, and you know, in my eyes, he's the best quarterback to play. But to see him handle that adversity and be a good teammate and kind of roll with the punches that year was pretty special for me to see.
And what have you learned being around John Elway? And I know John doesn't interact as much with the players as you would have interacted with Peyton, but is there anything that you've picked up from John Elway?
You know, Mr. Elway's been great my whole time here, but like you said, I think, you know, Mr. Elway, when you got a question for him, he's sure to answer you, but he does a good job of letting the coaches coach you. And, you know, especially as a young quarterback, you don't want a ton of voices coming at you because that kind of complicates things. So, you know, questions here and there I got for him. He's happy to answer, and he's awesome about that, but again, we got a heck of a staff here now, yeah. And those guys do a great job.
Trevor, are you aware of the fact that there has never been a seventh-round draft pick who has ever won a playoff game?
Wow. How many undrafted guys have done it?
I think from Football Outsiders did a study, and from 1994 to 2016, there have only been 3 seventh-round quarterbacks who have started playoff games. None have won a playoff game.
Wow. Well, that's hard to believe. But, you know, I think, you know, like I said, I understand the seventh-round deal, and, you know, I understand that's where I was, and I wasn't a first-round guy coming out and didn't get a lot of attention early on. But, you know, especially where I'm at now, I just don't feel like, you know, that label or that, like yeah. I said, I have that asterisk next to my name on the roster. You know, my job is to be the best quarterback I can for the Broncos, and I really don't think about that other stuff too much.
Look, there have been quarterbacks drafted in the sixth round that we know that have won plenty of Super Bowls, undrafted free agents who have won Super Bowls. That happens to just be a number. It's an odd number there that a seventh-round pick has never won a playoff game, but it's just a number, but it is interesting.
We're due then pretty soon here, huh?
I think you are due at this point in time. By the way, where are you right now, Trevor? Are you in the locker room, the trainer room? Where are you that we hear all your teammates interacting?
I'm in the cafeteria. I'm in the best place I can get service. So, yeah, it's a bit of a circus here, but, yeah.
I want to wrap up this whole podcast thing with something that I call last call, which is some questions, random questions that I like to ask guests on the last call. The last time, Trevor, that you cried, and I don't mean to break the bravado and aura of a tough quarterback, but when is the last time you cried?
The last time I cried,
yep.
You know, I get, I wouldn't say I cried, but I get kind of soft for, in certain movies. I get, I'm trying to remember. I watched, I can't remember what movie it was, but pretty recently. And I'm man enough to admit I had a tear rolling down, but I wouldn't say I was, you know, crying. That's a pretty strong word.
But you got emotional.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That's fair enough. Okay, if you knew you only had 1 hour to live, who would you call and what would you say?
Well, I'd probably call my folks, call my dad. I'm sure he'd keep it pretty lighthearted for me. So, yeah, that's probably where I'd spend some of that time.
And the last question, the last call, what would be your last meal, and give me 4 people, not family members, who would be invited. So it could be any meal at any time, anywhere, and who's coming to your little dinner party for your last meal?
Oh, I got, you know, I love chicken wings, so it'd probably have to be chicken wings, pitcher of beer, some fries. You know, obviously this is my last meal, so I don't have to worry about anything going on
exactly.
After this. It's kaput, so... But, you know, shoot, I'd probably have to invite some pretty important people there.
Yeah.
I mean, dead or alive,
Trevor, it's your last meal. Like, we're going to do anything that you want for you.
Yeah, I mean, holy smokes. Wow. I'm kind of Rolodex in here thinking.
It's a little bit intimidating and daunting to think, like, who you could have when you could have any person in history, any person in modern culture, anyone that's around you. I mean,
I think it would definitely, you know, I'm thinking of guys like Abe Lincoln, guys from different time periods, just to get a different perspective on things.
So Abe Lincoln is one. We'll give you one slot for Abe Lincoln.
I'll go.
Yep.
I'll go Babe Ruth.
Wow.
I'll go.
Which means, by the way, extra chicken wings and extra beer because you're going to have a lot of that at the table.
That'll be perfect. Yeah. I'll go John Kennedy.
Ooh, I like that one.
And I got one more.
Yep.
I'll go. I'm trying to think of. I need a woman at the
table. Just thinking that. I was thinking you're going to go all male on me here, aren't you?
You know, we need some balance. I don't know. You got any suggestions here? I mean,
who would I suggest as a woman?
Yeah.
Whew. I mean, You know, do we want romance? Do we want intellect? Do we want?
I think maybe Marilyn Monroe.
You know, that's that. Boy, you're not the first person that's told me that answer. I don't think you could go wrong with that one. But now the only problem is that you got JFK and Marilyn Monroe to dinner. You're probably you're probably not going home with Marilyn Monroe there.
that might be yeah.
Well, you got some big competition there, Trevor. Okay, look, you've won competitions before, and you're in another competition now. That might be the biggest competition of your life right there.
right. Exactly. Could be special though. Could be special.
It would be a memorable last meal.
Worth the risk, right? It's my last meal. Shoot.
Hey, Trevor, I really appreciate you taking some time from your quarterback competition in the middle of the cafe to find that spot in the cafe that has the good cell reception. Thank you for making the time. Continued success to you, and lots of luck this season.
Adam, thanks a lot. Thanks
Thank you, Trevor.